Hello, photography lovers. It's Wednesday, which means it's time to welcome another guest in our show. I just want to mention, if you're wondering, you're listening to the Fashion Photography Podcast, the one and only place you can find everything you need and everything you want to know about the fashion photography business. I'm your host, Virginia Yanchiba, and today with my guest, we'll be talking about his advices to the starting photographers, also about his favorite app. And even if you're not a starting photographer, this can always be useful for you. We talk in details about some of his projects and that it's never too late to start your photography career.
I'm Pierre Turteau. I'm a French 39-year-old guy, passionate about my work. Came quite late into photography. At start, I'm a sound engineer and a music fan.
Nice.
That was my, let's say, my first creative intention. And photography came on the late when I decided I did my path into music and had to move on. I had my first camera for, let's say, my 26 or 27 years, started random pictures and quickly came into fashion with my sister, mainly because she had her clothing brand.
Uh-huh.
One day she just came up and asked me to do a few pictures for her next collection, and that's how it all started.
Nice. And who handed you your first camera?
The very first was my father.
Mm-hmm.
My father was an amateur photographer, but quite passionate too, and had crazy cameras and everything. So I had cameras in my hands quite early, but didn't get into it till later.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you're not the first guy here dealing before photography with sound engineering, which is so
really
funny to me. Yeah. The photographer Roselle Vanon, she was also into sound engineering before that, and she even has a degree for this. And we have so many musicians here, so I guess the relationship between the photography and music is very close.
Oh, I'm sure about that, because it's all about creativity and finding just a way to express your creativity. And what I had in music came back with photography quite well.
And I can definitely tell that you have previous experience in this area, because your sound is so nice. Which is always important for me, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
You just started and you didn't have any educational background connected to photography?
No, at all.
How did it happen for you? Was your sister happy? Because I know siblings are most judgmental.
Yeah. But no, she was quite nice about that and didn't get any big remarks. But
sweet.
Learning photography was quite a strange process for me, because I did everything on my own, maybe for 2 or 3 years. I think I watched every tutorial that you can find on the web, lynda.com and things like that. I watched everything, thousands and thousands of hours of tutorials. If you have a question, you find it on the web for sure.
What was the hardest part for you?
Maybe when I had some questions that didn't find any answers, I didn't have anybody to turn to. So it was a lot of research and testing and trying.
If you can give an advice to starting photographer now, what would that be? I know it's a hard one.
Yeah.
But everyone knows that I'm really good with the hard ones.
I guess the best advice would be to learn all the rules, all the techniques, just learn them well to know how to break them afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Know how to play with it.
That's super cool, because playing with something means that it's still very interesting for you. Would you consider your work still very interesting for you?
Oh, sure. As I said, I'm really passionate. I'm really grateful about making a living out of this, because I'm not working. I'm just having fun.
I really like really short questions with very short answers. And I'm really up for one now. Are you?
Okay.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, sure.
Audiobooks or regular books?
Regular.
Do you have a favorite one?
No.
Okay. You're making it very hard for me.
Sorry.
So I'm changing the topic. Sweet or spicy?
Sweet.
Okay, wine or whiskey?
Wine.
Okay, red or white? Or maybe rosé?
Red.
Red, okay.
I'm from Bordeaux, so yeah. It has to be red.
Meat or no meat?
No meat.
Coffee or tea?
Definitely coffee. Big coffee addict.
Okay, do you have a favorite app?
Linked to photography, yeah. It's one called MapaPic. It's for scouting. Everywhere I go, I can just take 2-3 pictures, take the GPS points, and store all of that. So I have a huge database of locations.
Wow, that was super useful. And since I have more questions, we're done with the quiz. Tell me, how did you find it?
I think it was on F-Stoppers. Uh-huh. I quite follow F-Stoppers, and they talked about it a few years ago. Now I'm using it quite often, and it's really interesting. That's maybe a good invest for every photographer who wants to shoot outdoors for scouting. It's mm-hmm. really great.
So do you prefer to shoot indoors or outdoors? I can have a guess here after after the previous explanation. So
I don't have a big preference. Both are interesting. I really like indoors and studios for really shaping the light and doing my lights. Mm-hmm. Outdoors is different. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be very interesting too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I have this big question that I truly love. And mm-hmm. no, guys, it's not about his day. When was the first moment you actually realized that you are part of the industry, a big part of it, and that you're an actual photographer in this? I know you said it's a fun job, but it's still a job, I believe. So when was
sure. Maybe the first or second demand for a nice campaign. And I had really a brand and people trusting me and giving me their baby to just bring that image that will reflect all what they did a year or two. I think that was the most important thing.
Were you scared?
No, because as I said, I take a lot of attention to always have fun into doing this. And mm-hmm. I believe that if you don't have fun doing it, you will see it on the pictures. So no, not scared.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. Do you have an advice for the people who are struggling with light, maybe?
Testing. It's all about just being creative, because it's quite crazy what you can do. And how sentiment can change everything in your light. You just have to practice. Mm-hmm. Even if you follow all the tutorials and mm-hmm. you learn it, you can't really understand it till you really tried it.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely double that. Mm. And there are some things that people say in the fashion world that, for example, when a model is posing, they should not poke their face with their fingers because the shape of their face is becoming different. But you have this project called Freaky Fool.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the opposite. Yeah, it's not that much about fashion, but still you're a fashion photographer. So tell me more about this project, please.
So Freaky Fool was shot with Twiggy. Twiggy is quite an interesting person. I met him on a shoot for a magazine. And that guy is a performer, and he had like a crazy life about all the Parisian nightlife and all the weirdest parties and everything. Just meeting him was already very interesting. When we first shoot for that magazine, I just realized that he had crazy elastic skin.
Mm-hmm.
I won't tell his age because he won't like that, but it was really impressive. So it all started like that. We agreed that we needed to shoot again. And so as we just did that shoot and that work about elastic skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it all started, because I'm more and more into fine art photography too.
Mm-hmm.
I opened up my art gallery in Saint-Paul-de-Vence.
Nice.
And that was a project dedicated to fine art.
When did you find this passion about fine art?
Not so long ago. Came up quite on its own, really, because I had demands about selling prints. And so I decided to turn a little more about thinking my pictures more about
the art side, not just the passion.
Yeah.
And not only the commercial.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Nice. How did you decide to open a gallery? That's a big step.
Came quite easily with my sister. She really believed in my art, so she followed me and helped me for that. And she's taking care of the gallery. I don't have much time for that. I'm just doing the pictures and she's showing them.
Mm-hmm. Does she still has her brand?
No, she stopped her brand a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mainly why she was willing to open that gallery.
Because she has a time finally.
Yeah.
Tell us, what's the difference in the process of making a photography that is dedicated to fashion and a fine art photography?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
It's a totally different process in the way of thinking it. I've had lots and lots of thinking about that. The fact that people want to buy a picture, hang it in their house, they're not so much into hanging a portrait of someone they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main difference between fashion and fine art. It has to have much more emotion and maybe a stronger message too. It can be just aesthetic, but in a different way. It has to relate, I think, a bit more to, let's say, the standard art we call.
Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned this about the portrait. So you're sort of skipping the model release part because you can easily have no face, for example.
Yeah, sure.
Do you still shoot people in your foreign art project?
Yes, still. But yeah, a different way. I'm now doing a lot of research for my personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still involving people, but in a different way. It's really more about silhouettes, details.
I said it like it's a small joke, but it's not really a joke. Because it is important to have your model release, especially when you're selling this image to third part. So what was the hardest part for you in becoming part of the fine art industry?
This is hard to say. I think the hardest part was really that process I just told you about, the research and thinking the works differently,
mm-hmm.
the picture and how it will end up on a wall and why people will want to have this picture at home.
So you're asking yourself those questions. It's not really like those super nice movies that you're looking at and people are so artistic. But at the end of the day, they are thinking what people would buy. It is hard, of course, but it's still a business.
It is. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's a lot of psychology to just try to understand what would work and what wouldn't.
Okay, what's the thing that would never, ever work? Is there such thing?
Maybe some classic, very high-end, retouched beauty stuff. If there's no
soul in it.
Yeah.
Oh, and another thing. I can also think of these super, super copies of very original works from the past. A super copy. Why would I want a copy? For example, if I have a very nice original painting and you do a photography copy of that, why would I want a copy? Yeah, I think this would also not work.
Sure. You can get inspired. I had some works that were really inspired and went quite all the way till I try not to copy, but stay just into the lines. But yeah, you have to bring something else, for sure. Yeah,
definitely. In our industry, it's not super okay to copy other people because everyone is going to accuse you in something.
There's so many people doing so many things. Definitely. I had the talk an hour ago with another fellow photographer who had exactly that problem. He was doing an ad for a boat show, and he had the company who told him, no, we can take that picture out because it's a pure copy of another boat show 4 years ago. The guy didn't even knew about that picture.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens, but almost everything has been done already. So now it's just reinterpretation. I think we have to stay quite cool about that. I had that problem for a few times about people accusing me of pure copy or things like this. But when you take the same concept, for sure, there will be some
similarities.
After you have to see a bit further than that.
Did you answer some of those accusations?
All the concepts are used and used all over. Definitely, as a photographer, you're going to use a concept that has been shot already 100 times. Anybody can tell you, okay, you copied him, him, and him. But it's a mix of those three. That's the point. It was about mixing those three and bringing your little thing.
You have this project, Sticky Dark. It looks amazing, but I'm sure it was really nasty in your studio.
It was. I worked a lot with one makeup artist. It's called Kelly McLean. We stick a lot together into work. We wanted to really creative beauty and really work with
liquids and maybe some sticky stuff.
Yeah. So we ended up with that. It could look a bit like gasoline or things like that, but it's just caramel and chocolate. And the model had quite some problems to take that out, but it was a fun shoot.
Yeah, and the result is super cool. So you do have this liquid project, but you also have a glitter project. People can see it on your Instagram, which, by the way, is.
Pierre Giotto altogether.
And it's also linked in the show notes, guys, as always. So you know where to find it. So you have this awesome glitter project with another makeup artist. Can you tell us a little bit more and maybe how you clean up the whole studio afterwards?
Yeah, that was the hardest part of the shoot. Everything was just like a breeze, but the cleaning was. I have a little studio at my place, and
Oh, home studio. Nice.
yeah. And so that was shot at my place. And I think I had glitter all over the place for maybe a month.
You're definitely very brave to shoot it there. Did you talk to the makeup artist before that, or you just came up with the idea on the day of the shoot?
Oh, no, for sure. We talked. Usually, when I start a project like that, it's a lot about talking with the inspiration image. We're talking about apps. One other app that I use a lot is Pinterest. I spend maybe an hour a day on Pinterest just watching.
It's also one of my favorites.
It's great for inspiration.
Definitely. And for making mood boards, it's super nice to share them. You can have them as a secret, which is perfect.
Yeah, so it started like that, changing a few inspiration pictures, and then we agreed on the style and where we were going, and that's it. They came up with a huge pack of glitters, and we started to work.
I know that this is the most interesting part, but unfortunately, you have to listen to the rest of the interview next Wednesday. Just so that I can make sure that you're not too upset, don't worry. This week, we'll have a second podcast on Friday, so stay tuned for it. And until that time, you can just leave us an honest review on iTunes. Thank you guys for being with me, and I'll see you on Friday.